Okay, so if you lived in the time of the apostles, let's say you placed yourself back then. It was the apostolic age, so these 12 had been sent out all over the world. And you heard that one of them who lived close by you by the name of Peter, who was the chief of the apostles, allegedly had the gift of healing. If there was someone sick in your family, would you have brought them to him? Now, what if you heard that there are so many people that clamored around him that you would not even be able to have a conversation with him? There was no chance of even getting close enough to touch him. All you might be able to do is lay your sick loved one on the road and hope that Peter's shadow would pass over him or her. Would you do it then? The Acts of the Apostles said everyone who did so, their sick or those who were troubled by evil spirits, were set free and cured. My brothers and sisters, why do I ask this question of you? Because those who would have brought their sick to Peter are those who in future ages of the church would have put the sacramentals of the church to their greatest use. What are the sacramentals of the church, and why do I speak of them today? Because we are going to talk about one of those sacramentals that is a gift to the church from our Lord Jesus Christ in the times that we live in. So we have the sacraments, the seven sacraments of the church, the primary means by which we receive God's grace. Then there are sacramentals, things like holy water, crucifixes, rosaries, statues, medals, all these other means, these gifts God has given of the church that can be a source of grace because He says He will act in our lives through them. What is one of the most common? And one of my most favorite is the miraculous medal. Now, I don't want anybody to raise your hands, but how many of you wear a miraculous medal? What is a miraculous medal? Our Lady gave this gift to the church. She appeared to St. Catherine Labouré, and the way in which she appeared, she says, have this image put on a medal, and those who wear it will receive an abundance of grace in their lives. Okay, God sends the mother of His Son to the world to give this gift. How many people wear a miraculous medal? Is it nonsense? That's just kind of like bringing a sick person up to Peter in the hope that he might be cured. There's a Catholic physician who is a member of St. Ignatius Church. He tells the story one time. He had to give the news to a family about their loved one who was in the hospital who was on life support. A number of weeks had passed and he realized this is hopeless. This person's never going to recover. They might as well take him off life support. And they're out in the hallway of the hospital. And he's telling the news to the family, and they had expected it, but nonetheless, there were great tears being shed. And at the same moment, this lady walks by, and she happens to overhear it. She says, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt. Would you mind if I went in and said a prayer for your loved one? They were so taken aback that they just kind of said, oh, okay, sure. This woman walks in and says this simple prayer. She takes a miraculous medal out of her pocket, places it on the man's head who was on life support, and the man's eyes open. And he begins to breathe by himself. Within a week, he is fully recovered. Still nonsense, right? Oh, come on, who's going to believe that, Father? Are you kidding me? You think I'm going to wear a medal just because you told that story? One day, celebrating daily mass at a certain parish, the first person who came up to receive Holy Communion, I noticed has a miraculous medal hanging out of her shirt. And I just kind of thought to myself, gosh, I wonder how many people here right now are wearing a miraculous medal. 80% of the people at daily mass were wearing a miraculous medal. And those were only the ones that could be seen because the others might have been under their shirts. I thought, okay, there's something going on here. A priest tells a story. He is making a trip from Calcutta to Rome by way of Moscow. Now, because it's hard to get flights from Calcutta to anywhere, so going to Moscow, Mother Teresa finds out about it. One day she brings to him a bag of miraculous medals, a big bag full. And he goes, Mother, what are these for? And she said, Father, I believe that Our Lady wants us to open a house of the missionaries of charity in the Soviet Union. He looks at her and says, Mother, there has not been a priest or a religious sister in Russia for over 50 years. They've all either been exiled or martyred. Are you serious? And he knew that she wasn't going to change her mind. So he makes this trip. But beforehand, he realizes, this was in the early 80s, so the height of the Soviet Union's power. He realizes that he's going to be in Russia. The day of his layover is March 25th, the day on which we celebrate the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel to Our Lady. And it is the day, that year, 1984, when Pope John Paul II was fulfilling what the Blessed Virgin Mary asked at Fatima. She said, unless Russia is consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, her errors will spread over all the world. Communism is going to spread unless she is consecrated to me. Well, none of the popes, all from 1917 to 1984, had consecrated Russia. So the Holy Father sends a letter to every bishop of the church, asking them to do this on the same day, March 25th of that year. There's not a bishop in Russia. There's not a single priest in Russia. And this priest realizes, I am going to be there on that day. I should be the one to consecrate her in that very land. So he sneaks a mass kit on the plane. And the way he does this, he needs the prayers for the mass. But if anybody found it, he'd go to jail. So on the back of communist propaganda, he has the prayers inscribed for the mass and the special consecration prayer of Russia. He sneaks into the Kremlin, and in a little corner, he celebrates, actually not in the corner, he gets into the Kremlin, and he finds out that there is an ancient church there at the heart of the Kremlin that is the Church of the Annunciation. He celebrates Mass. After Mass, he has time to take one miraculous medal and drop it behind the tomb of an ancient bishop. One year later, Mother Teresa gets a phone call from Mikhail Gorbachev, who asks her to come and open a house of the Missionaries of Charity. The priest can't believe it. He travels there with her. Well, he finds out they get there. They go to the seventh floor of a hospital, and four sisters are given one patient. So he realizes, okay, this is just, he wants to get a good name. He can say in public that he invited the Missionaries of Charity. Mother Teresa's there with this priest. She says, Father, will you pray with me? I would like to establish 15 houses in Russia before I die. It's the first time the priest thought, okay, she's getting older, she's going senile. 2 weeks before her death, 10 years later, he is in the Soviet Union, helping to found the 15th house of the Missionaries of Charity, each one named after a different mystery of the Rosary. When Mother Teresa handed him that bag of medals, he said, Mother, why so many? And she said, well, Mother, because it's a big request from Our Lady. You'll need many medals. How many of you wear a scapular? No, don't raise your hands. How many of you wear a scapular? Do you know what a scapular is? The Blessed Virgin Mary, on another occasion, appeared to a saint, Saint Simon Stock, a Carmelite priest. And I was actually, you might have noticed, I was trying to pull mine out in order to show you before the homily, but I couldn't get it off. The scapular, it's a long, simple garment, if you will, a little thread of cords made from Carmelite habits. The Blessed Mother said, whoever wears this will not suffer eternal flames. Whoever wears this will go to heaven if they wear it in faith. I was 16 years old when I found out about it, and not living a very good Christian life, I got one immediately. I wouldn't take it up for anything, you know, practice, swim team, showering, whatever. It never came off. But sometimes, because it hung a little long, I would, for football practice, I would drape it around, I would double it up around my neck, because otherwise it would get caught in the football pads. Well, one day, in the middle of practice, it flies out, and a buddy on my football team, a friend of mine, says, Jerry, what's that thing around your neck? And I was a little embarrassed, right? Oh my gosh, he's going to think I'm crazy. Especially, you know, those teenage years, you don't want to not fit in. And I said, well, you know, our Blessed Mother appeared to say, I told him the story, and said, you know, she said, if you wear this, you're not going to go to hell. Are you kidding me? Give me one of those. Within weeks, half the football team was wearing a scapular. the rosary. And I've told so many stories about the rosary, I don't need to repeat any. It's another sacramental. Actually, my sister-in-law, she normally comes to 8 o'clock Mass, so she's probably not here. She says if I give repeat homilies on a Sunday, she's not going to put anything in the collection basket. So I won't repeat any rosary stories. Just one more sacrament. St. Joseph. I went to Easter's Catholic bookstore one day, just a few months ago. And someone was walking out and had just bought a statue of St. Joseph. And I'm at the counter when this lady's doing so, and the sister, this lady running the store, says, "Father, you can't believe how many St. Joseph statues we sell here. We can't keep them on the shelf." I thought, gosh, that's awesome, all this devotion to St. Joseph. And she said, "Well, Father, I'm not sure too many people actually have a devotion to him. They go and they bury him." I said, "They bury him? Isn't that sacrilegious? What are you talking about?" "Well, there's this tradition that if you bury him at the house you hope to buy, or if you bury him in the house that you would like to sell, he will assist you in selling or buying." And I did. I said, I'm like, "What? Are you kidding? That's ridiculous." Some lady who's there shopping walks up. She said, "Father, I thought it was ridiculous too. I had my house on the market for over a year. I thought I was going to lose it. And then finally, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself. I went, I bought a statue of St. Joseph, buried it in my front yard. The next day, the house sold." Last century, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to a Catholic nun by the name of St. Faustina. And he appeared, as you see in the image here before me. And he said, "I want you to have this image created." And his exact words, "I desire that this image be venerated throughout the entire world. The soul that will venerate this image will not perish. The soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I promise victory over all its enemies already here on earth, but especially at the hour of death." How many, don't raise your hands, how many of you have this image hanging in your homes? When I read that line, I got one and put it right by my bedside. I don't want to take any chance and threaten any opportunity I have of receiving grace. And with this image, he gave a series of prayers called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Some of you might pray often. It's a treasure of the church that many people are not aware of. It is said on a strand of rosary beads. You can find copies of this prayer in the back of the church today. This is what our Lord said about the chaplet. "Whoever will recite this chaplet will receive great mercy at the hour of death. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he recites this chaplet only once, he will receive grace from my infinite mercy." And just one more quote about the chaplet. "At the hour of their death, I defend as my own glory every soul that will say this chaplet. Or when others say it for a dying person, the indulgence will be the same." If you're not familiar with the chaplet on this Feast of Divine Mercy, I recommend trying to pray it for the first time. At 3 o'clock today, we're going to gather for those who would like to come to pray it communally. We will have adoration after Mass until that time. Priests will be available for confession for those who would like to come. Our Lord said that a special indulgence will be given to every member of the church who on the Solemnity of Divine Mercy today receives Holy Communion, goes to confession, and prays this chaplet. The indulgence will be not just the forgiveness of their sins that they receive in confession, but a plenary indulgence that all the atonement we would have to make for every sin of our lives we would be set free from. St. Sounds crazy, no? Would you bring your sick loved ones if it meant just laying them in the shadow of St. Peter?